If you take a walk through the heart of Seattle's University District, something will pop out at you right away. Construction cranes, they are everywhere. Crews are hard at work on a new light rail station near the corner of Northeast 45th Street and Brooklyn Avenue Northeast. That station's not scheduled to open anytime soon, but mass transit will bring big changes to the U District. Neighborhood activists, the University of Washington, and Seattle City planners want to get a jump on those changes. They've been trying to hone a unified vision that will guide where and how the U District grows. Dave LeClerc is the Seattle City planner in charge of wrangling the competing visions. I met him last week at the light rail construction site.
We already see the beginning of a development boom that we think is picking up now, and it's going to keep happening until after that station is opened in 2021. And it really changes the way that people are thinking about the U District. This neighborhood, the U District, has been designated since the early 90s as one of Seattle's six urban centers, which is one of the places where we're trying to direct most of our job growth and housing growth.
The big buzzword, since we're standing next to a future transit station, transit-oriented development. What does that mean?
So transit-oriented development really is pretty simple. It means you want to do good planning around places where you're making big infrastructure investments. So if you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars building a light rail system in a neighborhood, you want to think about how the streets and the open spaces and the buildings around that are going to tie into it. Some people are very literal about it, and they think it means, you know, your number one goal is you max out density around that light rail station. Or, there are certain uses that you have to have within it. And I don't think it's that specific. I think it depends on the context of the neighborhood. I would argue that a lot of the cranes that you see in the U District have to do with the fact that people are recognizing that this neighborhood is going to be better connected. There will be a six-minute commute from the U District to downtown, which fundamentally changes the way that people see the U District.
There are a lot of different proposals, and one of the sort of themes in the planning document that I read was, how do we densify and yet sort of make a human element? So more generally than whether where you and I are standing on Brooklyn Street is a giant plaza or not, what is the balance between that density, that increased number of residences and jobs, and leaving a little place to breathe?
And that really has been one of the major topics in this neighborhood, is people have divergent ideas about what that should be. Some people want it to be a large unprogrammed plaza. Other people would like to see a network of smaller open spaces. Certain people have particular uses that they'd like to have more of.
This is a construction site right now, but if we look to the north, what do you see, like an underused area? What do you see?
In particular, we're standing on Brooklyn right now, which is, it's a very wide right-of-way that doesn't have a lot of traffic on it. The major north-south routes run parallel to this, but you don't have a lot of through traffic on Brooklyn. And so going back to the early 90s and that the neighborhood plan, this was designated by the neighborhood as something that was really important to have a good quality pedestrian experience, lots more trees and landscaping. And we see opportunities for that all up and down Brooklyn, but in particular, this block from 45th down to 43rd that's going to be abutting the future light rail station. We're in the middle of working with Sound Transit to design a concept plan for this that would be a festival street similar to Bell Street Park Boulevard downtown.
You cannot talk about the University District without talking about the University of Washington, the namesake of the district. What's the relationship and what's the influence of the university when it comes to the city thinking about this neighborhood?
There's a long history of town-gown tensions in this neighborhood, as anybody who's been involved in any of the planning is aware. We're really in a new era right now. People have been meeting for the last several years to have a lot of conversations about what does the future look like. And the university has been at the table at all of those meetings. They've really supported that process, and they're very interested in all these conversations about open space and street improvements and how can all this fit together.
There's a lot of new development, which we're going to talk about soon, but there's also a historic feel to this neighborhood, and this is, I think, a tension probably all over the city, that struggle to modernize, to become more dense so that it doesn't sprawl out into the county, but yet to keep history.
Yeah.
So how do you weigh it?
The historic character is certainly another thing that we've heard a lot about. There are some buildings in the neighborhood, like the Neptune Theater that we're standing next to. So the Neptune is a designated landmark. University Manor Apartments is not a designated landmark, but it is it's a great older character building. So landmark buildings, there are several fairly clear programs that help protect those through various development regulations and also tax incentives and so forth. But we're also thinking, as we develop our zoning proposal, is what can we do to keep some of that fine-grained historic character in the neighborhood at the same time that we're accommodating a lot of new development.
Is there an easy way to explain for people who hear that word zoning but go, huh, what zoning actually is?
Really, there are two main elements of zoning. One is it says where you can do what uses. So can you build residential here? Can you build retail here or other uses? And then the other component is, what do those buildings look like? How tall can they be? How big can they be? How wide? How do they meet the street?
We're walking up on, I think these two buildings are open, right? Yes, now yeah. Open. What we're looking at are two, I think they're apartment buildings, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Mixed use.
Mm-hmm.
And this is perhaps the type of development that we're going to see more of in this neighborhood, right?
There are many more sites that could have this kind of development. We believe that without any changes to zoning, yes, you're going to see a lot more of this particular kind of development.
Who are these apartments aimed at? It doesn't really look like student housing.
Both of the apartments that we're looking at here are, they're private developments aimed at students.
Really?
Yeah.
So does that mean they're sort of quasi-affordable or, you know, what?
They're affordable in the sense that they're maybe more affordable than they would be if they had larger units. They tend to have smaller studio units or one-bedroom units. Or I think when they do have multi-bedroom units, it's the assumption is that students are going to move in and share those.
In the planning document, it says there's just over 14,000 permanent residents or semi-permanent residents in this neighborhood. And you're looking to add a significant number of people to it. Who are those people supposed to be?
That's an interesting question. So based on our projections of what the amount of growth that we expect to see in this neighborhood over the next 20 years, we think there are going to be around 4,000 new dwelling units that come in, more residents than that, and 5,000 new jobs. The city's goals and policies don't say who those people should be, and so that's really been the conversation with the neighborhood, is what are we trying to do in this neighborhood? For example, if you want families to live in this neighborhood, we need to work on the question about what school are those families going to send their kids to, and you know, do we have the right resources in terms of, are there enough playgrounds and other open spaces that work for families? So we're very aware of the fact that zoning is part of this, but we're trying to be very upfront with people that it's a bigger equation. We don't think that there's a single neat answer to this, but we are certainly, as we're developing our recommendations and talking to the community, we're certainly aware of this goal of having a mix of housing types for a mix of people, and that we want all of that to be happening within walking distance of the light rail station.
Dave LeClerc is a Seattle city planner. He's the point person for growth and development in Seattle's University District. You can find out more about plans for open space in this neighborhood at a forum. It's going to be held tonight at 7 at the University of Washington's Alder Hall.